Greetings, friends and brethren in Christ. This is R.K. Campbell with another broadcast of What Saith the Scriptures of Wilton, Wisconsin, USA. We're continuing our studies of Psalms that speak prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having considered in our last message Psalms 17, 18, and 21, we now come to Psalm 22, which contains one of the most complete prophecies of the sufferings of Christ and the glory which is to follow. If your Bible is available, please open it to this wonderful psalm and follow along with us. David was also the writer of this psalm. He endured severe persecutions from King Saul, but he never passed through all the agonies and sufferings which he wrote about here. The Holy Spirit came upon him and caused him to write beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, as the Apostle Peter wrote in his epistle many years later. See 1 Peter 1, verse 11. In the Psalms, we get the very feelings of Christ expressed, whereas in the Gospels, we have the facts as to Christ recorded. So in this Psalm 22, we have expressed in prophetic language, some 1,000 years before time, the innermost emotions, agonies, and sufferings of Christ while he hung on that shameful cross of Calvary those 6 hours. Without this marvelous psalm, we would miss much as to realizing what the Savior suffered in his innermost soul and spirit on the cross. The first 21 verses present to us the suffering Savior, and the rest of the psalm tells us of the glory that shall be his when all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee, as verse 27 states. As to the sufferings of Christ, the first 5 verses of this psalm tell us what he suffered from the hand of God when he took the sinner's place, was made sin for us, and was forsaken by the Holy and Righteous One. This was the greatest of all the agonies of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is expressed in the first verse, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring or groaning?" He who had always done the will of God in his life was now forsaken as the sin-bearer by his God. The historical accounts of the crucifixion of Christ in the Gospels by Matthew and Mark record that about the 9th hour, after 3 hours of darkness in midday, just before the Savior gave up his spirit, he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which by interpretation are the very words of Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" See Matthew 27, verse 46. Here in this psalm, the answer is given to this agonizing question of Jesus. Verse 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." The holiness and righteousness of God required that he turn away from Jesus Christ when he took the sinner's place and bore divine wrath and judgment against sin. Jesus Christ was forsaken of God on the cross when he made atonement for sin, that the believer in him and his redemption for sin might never be forsaken of God. Oh, what wondrous love and grace of God is thus manifested in this marvelous redemption plan of Calvary's cross. The Apostle Peter says by divine inspiration that Christ, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, by whose stripes ye were healed. And, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." See 1 Peter 2, verse 24, and chapter 3, verse 18. Dear friend, listening to this message, have you beheld by faith and considered Jesus Christ bearing the judgment of sin on the cross and suffering the wrath of God in your place as your substitute and Savior? See him in deepest agony and suffering, forsaken of God, that you might be forever saved from judgment and redeemed. Behold the God you have sinned against, judging his beloved Son for your sins. Isn't that marvelous love? Have you accepted God's wonderful love and yielded to Jesus Christ as the one who died for your sins? If not, do so right now, and then you can say with the Apostle John, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love, and herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10 and verse 16. Verses 6 through 20 of Psalm 22 relate what Christ suffered from the hands of cruel men during the first 3 hours on the cross. He was reproached, despised, and mocked. They compassed him like bulls and dogs and taunted him to come down from the cross if he was the Christ, as the Gospels tell us. A vivid picture of death by crucifixion is given in verses 14 through 17. "They pierced my hands and my feet," the inspired psalmist wrote. All this, written 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was crucified, is a remarkable prophecy as to the death of God's Messiah. The Jewish mode of execution was by stoning, as the Old Testament indicates. Crucifixion was used by the Gentiles as the mode of putting to death. Particularly, the Romans used this method. So David, an Israelite, could only have prophesied this form of death by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In verses 14 and 15 we read, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death." The sufferings of crucifixion are here graphically portrayed. The bones of the hands, arms, shoulders, and pelvis all out of joint. Profuse perspiration from intense sufferings. Inflammatory fever from the wounds. The heart affected, the powers of life exhausted, and extreme thirst is experienced. Indeed, crucifixion was a most horrible and shameful death. All this the sinless Savior suffered from the hands of his creatures, sinful, rebellious, wicked men. But the Lord Jesus did not die as a result of crucifixion. He said in John 10, verses 11, 17, and 18, that he was the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep, and that no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. So we read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 50, "At the close of the ninth hour, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. As the willing sin-bearer and the good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep. After suffering the wrath of God for our sins and paying the wages of sin, which is death. Then the work of atonement for sin was finished and completed." The answer from heaven was given by the veil of the temple being rent in two from the top to the bottom. Matthew 27, verse 51. Returning to Psalm 22, we come to a turning point in verse 21. "Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns," or buffalo. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren." The darkness of Calvary passed, and the Lord had the sense of his God having heard his cry. The answer of God was given in resurrection, and as the resurrected Redeemer, he declares the Father's name unto his brethren. See John 20, verses 7 to 21. The horns of the buffalo is a poetic expression symbolizing power, the power of God in resurrection. This power is spoken of in Ephesians 1, verses 19 to 23. Now we come to the second part of this great psalm in verses 22 to 31, which set forth the glory that belongs to Christ, the suffering Redeemer. A fourfold sphere of praise and glory is spoken of in this section. In verse 22, Christ praises in the midst of the congregation. This verse is quoted in Hebrews 2:12 and applied to Christ singing praises in the midst of the church. This began when he appeared unto the disciples after his resurrection. See John 20, verses 17 to 23, and continues now in the midst of those gathered unto his worthy name. The second sphere is spoken of in verses 23 and 24. These verses speak of the glory and praise Christ will receive from his people Israel, the seed of Jacob, who will own him as their suffering Messiah and victorious King. The confession of Isaiah 53 will be the language of a believing remnant in the coming day. The third sphere is found in verses 25 through 28. Here it is, the great congregation embracing all the ends of the earth, and the nations that will praise and worship Jesus Christ in his kingdom on this earth. Finally, the last verse, 31, states, they shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Those that will be born during Christ's glorious kingdom reign will be told what Jesus has done, his sufferings for sin on the cross, and his resurrection and kingly glory. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Now we come to the well-known, beautiful, short, and beloved Psalm 23. While saints of God through the ages have derived personal comfort and encouragement from this psalm, we may also view it as a meditation of the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked by faith in this world. He trusted fully in Jehovah as his shepherd for all the trials and needs of the journey that led through the valley of the shadow of death. His table was spread in the presence of his enemies, and his head was anointed in consecration to his God. He ever walked in unbroken communion with God, and his cup of joy ran over even in adversity. See Matthew 11, verses 20 and to 27, and Luke 10, verses 21 to 22. Though the valley of the shadow of death was before him at the cross, he could say, I am not alone because the Father is with me. John 16, verse 32. He looked on beyond death to the house of Jehovah as his eternal dwelling place. In relation to the Lord's people, we see Christ in this psalm as the great shepherd of the sheep, risen from the dead and caring for and leading his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death to the Father's house. He is so spoken of in Hebrews 13:20 as the great shepherd. Then in Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, we have the King of Glory spoken of, and the gates and doors called upon to be lifted up, and the King of Glory shall come in. Here we have Christ as the chief shepherd, whom Peter speaks of as the one that shall appear with crowns of glory to faithful under-shepherds, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. This would speak of Mount Zion, where the Lord Jesus shall reign over the earth. Psalm 22 gives us Mount Calvary, where he gave his life in atonement for sin. And Psalm 23 is the valley of life in between these two mountains. Psalm 22 is the shepherd's cross. Psalm 23 gives the thought of the shepherd's crook. And in Psalm 24, the shepherd's crown is seen. What a wonderful trio of psalms.